thanks again, Mr. Peter. It's a pleasure to meet you in person. I think since COVID hit, we do most of these things virtually. But finally, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation.
Nice to be here. Yeah. Nice to be here with you, Eric.
Okay. Yeah. Let's jump right into how the past year was. Yesterday, you released the numbers, quite impressive in a very challenging environment. And that showed there's quite some recovery from the pandemic level, sort of a slowdown. From where you sit, how do you assess 2022 and as we head into the elections?
So it's true, Eric. We have, as Safaricom, released some strong results for financial year 22, which ends March, calendar year 22. We've come off, of course, the COVID period. We've seen recovery coming through, and that is showing up in terms of the numbers that we've released. In particular, I wanted to say we've seen business recover. We've seen SMEs do more transactions, individuals do more transactions. But also, we are on the second year of implementing our 2025 strategy. So we are seeing the benefits of that. And I can take you through a couple of the headlines, which is very strong top line growth, 12%, very strong earnings before interest and tax of about 13%. And even when you factor in the Ethiopia investments, we still delivered about 1.4% growth when we exclude minority interest.
Okay, interesting. Speaking of the Ethiopian unit, it's the first time that Safaricom is reporting its earnings as a group, including the Ethiopian business. And of course, the numbers show that you invested more cash into that particular unit. And but of course, that dragged down the bottom line in a way, given that the capex was a bit higher, given the investment that you have to make in that particular country. And what you also mentioned is that you had done some particular tests on the voice side of things, the telco business, and now you are planning to go commercial with that particular. You mentioned a bit about the performance of that Ethiopian business, the investment side, and how the tests went, and as you plan to do the commercial launch.
Yes, clearly, going forward, yeah. And from this year, we'll start now distinguishing between how Kenya is performing versus the group, which will be including Ethiopia. When you look at the Kenya business, it's the net profit growth was still about 12%. And even at a group level, if the profit before tax, including Ethiopia, was at 9%, so it's still very strong. We had a higher tax payment this year, increased by 9% because of the increase of tax from 25 to 30% on the corporate tax. Just coming into Ethiopia, this year was always going to be, and even next year will be affected, was always going to be a year of investing to build the infrastructure before you drive commercial launch. So we have capital expenditure, we have employee spend, we've hired 350 people, of which about half are Ethiopian. So of course those costs will come through. And of course we have the funding of the business, which funding the license, but also funding the initial capital expenditure, which has interest, but also currency. In terms of commercial launch, we intend to launch in Ethiopia commercially during calendar 22. We have certain obligations from a population coverage by through the bid process, and we believe we'll be able to achieve those coverage targets before March 2023. But in terms of the key elements to note about Ethiopia, is by the time we do commercial launch, we'll be with about 800 to 1,000 sites. We will also, by that time, hopefully have gotten the mobile financial services license to work with mobile money. The government is currently changing the law to allow us to operate mobile money, and we are going to be having conversations over the next few weeks.
Okay.
In terms of the commercial side, we are also negotiating with Ethiopia, and we have made huge progress. By the end of May, we should be able to sign a deal that will allow us to have interconnect agreements these transmission lines from Ethiopia, but also towers.
Okay.
So I think we're making a lot of progress during calendar 2022, we should be able to launch.
Okay, interesting. That's quite significant and very important. And I know recently news that Safaricom announced was the signing of a partnership with Ethio-Telco to grant Safaricom that particular network, the telco's particular network in Ethiopia. You've also touched that, but how significant is this as you head towards the launch?
So we haven't quite signed, but we have agreed on the key commercial terms. Now we are going through the agreement process, and before the end of May, we should be able to fully sign the agreement.
Okay.
It is very significant. It was anticipated as part of the bid process that the two parties would work together, because when you go into a new country, you need to lease transmission, because you need to transmit your traffic into your network. So you need transmission lines, we need to interconnect so that customers can call from one network to the other. And also we need to lease some of our towers from Ethiopia. So it's very significant, it's very important for our commercial launch. And it will allow both parties to have a partnership that is mutually beneficial for both for Safaricom Ethiopia, but also for Ethiopia.
Okay, interesting. Speaking of mobile money, that's something that I'm sure you're looking forward to launching in that particular country, given how it has changed lives in this particular side of the world. You mentioned, Rishul, that there are possibilities of the Ethiopian government is changing the law to accommodate Safaricom to launch this particular service. Are the talks going on? Should investors be a bit cautious, or it's something that, say, you're assured probably in the next 1 year or so, you should be launching mobile money in that particular side of the world?
I think this is one of the good news about the whole entry into Ethiopia. Initially, when we did our bid, there was intention that the government would open mobile money to foreign operators within 3 years. Last year, the Prime Minister said that he would reduce that period to 1 year.
Okay.
And at the moment, the Ethiopian government has been going through the process of amending the process of defining how much we need to pay to be able to operate.
Okay.
And we understand in the next few weeks, we should be able to have those conversations. So we would think that within the next 3 months or so, we should have full clarity, and potentially we should be able to have been allowed to operate mobile money. Of course, in terms of launch, it will take some time, but we believe that as soon as we are allowed, within 6 months, we should be able to launch mobile money.
Okay, interesting. Speaking of mobile money, it's M-Pesa revenues grossed 100 billion Kenyan shillings, almost $1 billion, quite significant. And compared to, I was checking the numbers the previous year was about 82 billion, and they're not stopping. They continue growing, given how most of our economies are still not digitized from a financial services perspective. What's the future of this important service? And you know, the reason I'm asking it this is that when you look at the conversations in the tech sector currently in Africa, is that you've seen MTN, you've seen either standalone fintechs with very high valuations, and then you've seen the likes of MTN, Airtel trying to spin off their mobile money services so that they are standalone fintech services, and then there is standalone telecommunication services. What's your view around these conversations and the future of this particular service?
So first of all, it's good to celebrate this milestone, the M-Pesa crossing the 100 billion milestone, which is fantastic. And as you say, it's close to $1 billion, call it $1 billion, because it's 109 billion Kenyan shillings, but also reflects our ability to innovate and actually meet customer needs. Because M-Pesa has grown 30%, partly because this is the year after we started charging. We reverted to charging on the persons-to-persons transfer. And remember, that started in January 2021. So we are lapping that period. But even when we started charging, we reduced the cost below 1,000 by up to 50%. So we've seen customers' number of transactions increase almost double to 20 transactions per customer. And therefore, we and also even on the business side, we've seen significant increase. M-Pesa, Lipa and M-Pesa merchants have grown to now 500,000 from 170 pre-COVID. So the use of M-Pesa as an ecosystem is becoming very significant. We've also seen we crossed the 15-year anniversary of M-Pesa since it was started, 30 million customer mark. So just going back to what next, I know there's a lot of talk about should M-Pesa be separate, fintech valuations being very high. But for us, we believe that the connection between Safaricom and M-Pesa is very significant.
Okay.
You can't operate the fintech without the GSM business.
Okay.
And indeed, even as we now we've launched the two super apps, the consumer app, I'm sure you have,
have
the super app, Eric,
yeah.
And also the business app, the unsaid story, or the story that's not told, is the business side. We have 150,000 businesses using the business app.
Okay.
And more than about 50% of the transactions that are going through businesses are going through the app. And this super allows businesses to have full control.
Okay.
So we believe that we are continuing to add value to customers and also to business. So we don't see that there's any need to think about just being separate as long as we continue to improve the lives of consumers. And actually, when you look at the valuation of Safaricom, Safaricom is not valued just as a telco.
Yeah.
The multiples for Safaricom is higher because it has a M-Pesa compared to. So most telcos will trade at about 6 multiple to earnings. We trade at around 12.
Yeah.
So it's already reflected that we have a strong fintech organization. We've also gone out, which allows us to continue to innovate and scale.
Yeah, interesting. Speaking of the business side of M-Pesa, I think. Yes, the personal payment side of things is quite significant, and that was the route. However, the business side is growing extremely fast. Could you speak briefly about future or potential opportunities that you are looking to capture the business side?
So, the way we look at the business side of M-Pesa is to see M-Pesa ecosystem as an empowering tool, especially for small businesses, whether you're a micro business, one man. Where we have Pochira Biashara, and we have more than 2 million registered users where you can separate your wallet between personal and business.
Okay.
And it's really good for the border drivers, mama bogas, and so on. So that's one. The second is your more organized small businesses, which can either use the business or use the merchant till or PayPal. And we've seen accelerated use of that. And for me, it's about reducing cost for business, using the till as a transacting till, so they can pay salaries, they can pay suppliers, they can transfer to the bank, they can get the money. So it's almost like it's your bank. You don't have to move money into a bank for you to then bring it back and pay salaries and suppliers. You can use the till as a transacting till, which is very significant. In the future, together with others, we could offer credit. Especially in partnership with bank. Of course, that requires regulatory approval, and we wouldn't talk about products that we don't have regulatory approval. But there's significant headroom, runway for growing use cases for business.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, what? Speaking of the numbers, what I also noticed,
actually,
M-Pesa revenue surpassed the revenues of the largest bank, not to mention which bank. Anyway, in the earnings call, and what I've also noticed in the recent years is that you beefed up the strategy team. I know Ogutu retired. I think you added in new team members, and you brought in Michael to lead the business development and strategy team.
Right.
And you also mentioned about plans to bolster the mergers and acquisition, which I haven't seen an activity in that area from Safaricom. Are we going to see something on the mergers and acquisition side? And if yes, which particular sector?
Yeah, I think the story of Safaricom has been about growth.
Okay.
And the question that everyone now keeps asking is, what's the next phase of growth?
Okay.
And a lot of the growth has come from organic growth, which is expanding through innovation, existing business, whether in the connectivity or in the payment side. But we believe that going forward, we will need to do more than organic. So we will need to expand into area that we are not comfortable with, so where we might use partnerships or M&A. And therefore, we see as an enabler of our growth a significant resources of strategic, more strategic skills, more M&A skills and innovation skills to make sure that we go into areas that we have not been before. So on the enterprise side, for example, IoT, ICT, Internet of Things, ICT, managed services, fixed, fixed wireless, both for homes and also for businesses big. We believe there's about 1 million homes to go after. We could either go and expand ourselves or actually partner with others or even merge with others. But in particular on the financial services side, I think there's a lot of opportunity to work with others and to be able to expand the offering beyond payments and credit into wealth, into savings, into insurance. Of course, this is a regulated business, so it requires a lot of work with the regulators to see that we get approval. But by having the skills, Michael Motiva is coming from a bank and coming from a mergers and acquisitions account, then we can expand our ability to take advantage of opportunities. I won't tell you what we are looking at the moment, but the areas of focus, expanding financial services, expanding fixed wireless, expanding into IoT, ICT, and also now we've been talking about digital health and digital agriculture, but we haven't made a lot of progress. So we might need to partner with others or even acquire small companies that allows us to get the right skills to be able to operate.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mr. Peter.
Thank you.
Really appreciate for the time. I'm looking forward to chatting with you again.